week's front page drama, The Bride Disappears, is an original radio drama based upon a feature article entitled, If It Was Murder, It Was the Perfect Crime, to be found in next Sunday's issue of The American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world that comes to you with your Hearst Sunday newspaper.
Detroit! Detroit!
Detroit. This is her home. Her father still lives here. He'll tell you about Sigrid Jansen. Find Olaf Jansen. Find Olaf Jansen.
Yeah, Sigrid was my eldest daughter. All girls in my family, no sons. When my wife Hulda died, my Sigrid became the mother to my children. She was in high school, the best pupil, the teacher said. She was hungry for things to learn, like children sometimes are for food. But she gave it all up. She mothered those children. But she was smart, my Sigrid. As her sisters grew, she studied their lessons with them and helped them with their homework. And she learned, too. When the girls grew up, she got a job in an office. The manager, he liked my Sigrid. When big office manager moved to New York, he picked my Sigrid. And that's last time I see her. She write letters, send money home, but never came back. Spent all her time work, study in school. In big town New York, catch my Sigrid. I never see her no more. You go to New York, find big boss, Williamson. Yeah, that be name. Ask him, he tell you about my Sigrid.
Grand Central Station, next stop, Grand Central Station, New York. All out, all out.
City of teeming millions, mother of all those who strive for success. Here is where you will find the story of Sigrid Jansen.
Yes, I knew Sigrid Jansen. I brought her here from Detroit. Clever girl, hard worker. Worked by day and studied hard at night. Went to New York University. Quite a scholastic record, too. Too good for me to hold. I lost them. She became secretary to Martin Hervey. You remember him, became ambassador to France. Yes, took Sigrid with him as his personal secretary. What? Paris? No, it didn't seem to faze him. He kept right on studying. Change of administration, in 18 months they were back. She had that office across the hall. Still kept working, still kept studying. No time for play. No time for romance. No time for the men. Office by day and classroom by night. But, say, you want the real story of Sigrid Jansen. Why don't you go and see her secretary? Now, let me see, Winifred Sheehan. She's left the company now, married, I think. Lives in Newtown, Connecticut. She can give you more information about Miss Jansen's latter years than I can. See her.
Yes, I knew Sigrid Jansen. I became a personal secretary when she was made legal representative for American Electrical Utilities Incorporated. Well, she was the answer to man's repeated boast that woman has no place in the world of business. Ask Miss Jansen. See Miss Jansen. Miss Jansen handled that. Miss Jansen's done it again. That woman should wear trousers. It's uncanny. The court decides for American Electrical Utilities Incorporated. Brilliant defense by America's foremost woman attorney. Oh, yes. I knew Sigrid Jansen. But despite her success, her major triumphs, she was slipping. She aged, grew tired, irritable. She could hide most everything else from me but one thing. I was a woman. I knew. And one evening, just about six, she said to me,
"That'll be all, Miss Sheehan. I can't think anymore. My brain won't function, so it's no use keeping you. You've probably got a date for dinner with some young man. Maybe you're going to dance, go to see a show, or just go for a drive through Westchester. There's nothing in the whole American Electrical Utilities more important than that. Believe me, I know. Oh, so get out of here."
"No. No, Miss Jansen. I'll be glad to stay and finish. I can phone
No.
back."
"No. Come over to this window, Winifred. Look down there. Don't think that I don't know what's going on. As tired as those girls are, they're hurrying into the yawning mouth of that subway on their way home. Their hearts beating a little faster. Their step a little faster because they have a date. Some of them like you with your Jack or Tom or Dick or Harry. Others are rushing home to get to the house a little after their husbands so they can start for dinner. Winifred, they're like you. They're normal women. They've got a natural interest in life. Oh, but I'm talking too much.
No, Miss Jameson. I'm very fond of you. I hope you won't mind my saying what's on my mind, but you've changed lately. I've seen it coming. You've grown a little irritable. Please don't misunderstand me. I don't mind. I'm only thinking of you. There's something wrong, and if you'll pardon my presumption, I'd like to help you if I could.
That's all right, Winifred. You can't help me. No one can. I'm all mixed up mentally. I suppose this sounds rather silly to you. Oh, I've often noticed that look of adoration when I dictate an important brief. I know that sometimes you've envied my command of the situation, my executive ability. But please, don't be envious. As a matter of fact, Winifred, I envy you. You've got a man who loves you, adores you, respects you for all your feminine qualities. Oh, he may be a clerk in a stockbroker's office, but he's a knight in shining armor to you. What have I got? Success. A reputation. A penthouse apartment. Money in the bank. It's mockery. I'd trade it all for what you're going out for tonight.
I understand, Miss Jansen. Really, I do. I once had dreams and ambitions. I worked and struggled, and then I met Jack. How? It was ever so simple. So simple I didn't realize what was happening. I met him in a little restaurant on 12th Street. He used to eat there every night. He was lonely, too. A waiter introduced him. Didn't seem right at first, but I was so lonely, so starved for affection and someone to talk to. I didn't really mind. Well, that's how I found Jack. Maybe you two could find someone.
Yes, the shoes. I know Sigrid Jensen. The best kind of people. Imagine me. You're beautiful, too. But how do you say she's got a set of faces? Something is going up her face. Something is going around inside her heart, the poor thing. She's a lonesome, that's how you say. But Mario, he's no. She's used to come 1, 2, 3 nights a week, all the time alone. Nice lady, but she'd have no man. So Mario, he just says, I fix. So one night, a man, he's come in. All the dark in the hands, and terrific. So Mario, he thinks he's a fixer up a romance. He's introduced a nicer man to a nicer lady. Imagine me, she's go out with him, he's go out with her, then not come back. Mario is to fix himself, he lose the business. I'm not see him no more. Eh? Where she live? In some big hotel. I'm here, the cab driver, she told me. It's the 56th Street. Maybe you'll find her there.
Why, sure, I know Sigrid Jansen. You're the finest lady ever lived in this house. A lady every inch of it. Sorry to lose her, I was, too. And you know, that's something I never could quite understand. She went off with the firm. It's the truth, so help me. I remember quite well. Married they were, too. Now, it was the week before Christmas. She was going to live with this fellow in England. I thought it was fishy at the time. Now, what would the likes of a fine lady like that be doing marrying to a firm? And going to live in England to be happy? Ah, but sure, what are you asking me for? It's the district attorney that can be telling you the true story.
Yes, I remember Sigrid Jansen. A thin, shabbily dressed woman came into my office one summer and introduced herself as Sigrid Jansen's sister. They hadn't heard from her since she sailed for London. Very apprehensive about her sister's safety. Very suspicious of the man she married. Suspected murder and all kinds of foul play. What could I do? There's no evidence. But one day we got a call from the American Electrical Utilities Incorporated. Big shot. Demanded action. Said that Sigrid Jansen's sister had been up to see him. Well, you know the story. The boss was running for governor and needed friends in the big bracket, so I started the search. Ended in Paris. The French Sûreté had finally traced him. They can get a line on anybody. They'll find the lost tribe of Israel if you ask them. But that's their story.
And so, monsieur, there is no use denying this crime. We have found out you were married once in Budapest, deserted your wife and fled to Copenhagen. where you married a beautiful Danish girl. You fled with her jewels and dowry to London, where you swindled two English ladies and got away to America. There you married Mademoiselle Janssen under false pretenses, and you stand guilty of the crime of bigamy. We are not certain that you committed murder, although you have Madame Janssen's trunks and baggage initialed in her name. And this little girl from the Montmartre is wearing her clothes, made over by a dressmaker who was too careless to remove the labels. Mais oui, that does not mean murder, but you must return to America to enter the crime of bigamy.
I didn't know Sigurd Janssen. But that guy? Sure, I knew him. He was in his cell. Slept in the top bunk. They sent him up for bigamy, 2.5 years. You know, he was awful hard to get along with. And one day out in the yard, I makes a smart crack and I'd throw picks on him. Well, we was behind one of the workshops, so we goes to it. But he don't know that I got a knife that I snitch out of the kitchen and sharpened up. So I goes to let him have it, but he ducks. And the first thing I know, he's holding his head and screaming. Through the underground, I find out what's happened to him. I poked the buzzard's eye out with a knife, and he ain't no Robert Taylor no more. Some federal dick comes and gets him when his time's up, and, well, we're glad to get rid of him.
Now, listen, you know you ain't supposed to come in here. I got a prisoner here. And he ain't supposed to talk to no one, see no one, or have nothing to do with no one until this boat sails. We're shipping him back to the old country. He's an undesirable alien. Okay, okay. You got 5 minutes. And if he wants to talk, okay.
I knew Sigrid Janssen. Did I marry her? Yeah, but murder her? Nine. I have read all the things you've said about me in your newspaper, but let me tell you one thing. I married Sigrid Janssen, but I did not murder her. Yes, I was married 3 times before. I married women of wealth and took their money away and left them, but left them alive. You understand that? Always alive. I robbed them, perhaps, but never murdered. Yes, I knew Sigrid Janssen, like many others before her. She was wealthy and desirable. I married her for her money. 2 days after we were married, she said she wanted to go to England. I told her that was impossible because the police wanted me on the charge of swindling. She compromised. She loved me. She wanted to go anywhere with me. She said, Vienna. I said, no, not only were the Viennese police after me for bigamy, but Hitler was already there. Sigrid and I, we quarreled. I already had our passage booked. Her trunks were on the steamer, so I said, darling, you can do as you please. If you want to follow me on the next boat, I will be waiting for you in Antwerp. But no, she was foolish. She remained behind, so I sailed. If you want her, she is still in New York. Look there for Sigrid Janssen.
You have just heard the front page drama, The Bride Disappears, based upon a feature story, If It Was Murder, It Was the Perfect Crime. This and many other stories, articles, and feature fiction are to be found in next Sunday's American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world that comes to you with your Hearst Sun newspaper.